French students are set to demonstrate in front of Senate building as protesters tighten the blockade on fuel depots. 1 million jobs are to be shed as Britain announces a drastic spending cuts program. Human Rights Watch says Bahrain is returning to authoritarianism. And Iran and Venezuela promise to commit to the creation of a multipolar world.
The interference of colonizers in Latin America and also in the affairs of Venezuela, we highly condemn that.
It is 11 p.m. in London, England, and 5:30 p.m. in Caracas, Venezuela. This is Press TV's World News. Well, reports say French students are preparing to hold a demonstration in front of the Senate on Thursday. The protests continue as French President Nicolas Sarkozy has ordered a crackdown on those he calls troublemakers. Months of mostly peaceful protests have taken a violent turn in recent days. Police have used tear gas to disperse angry protesters who oppose a government proposal to raise the retirement age from 60 to 62. Reports say that France has been forced to import around 6,000 megawatts of electricity due to strikes at its power stations. About one-third of gas stations are also running dry. The government has authorized the use of a special intervention force to deal with protesters blocking fuel depots. However, the protesters say they won't back down. A member of the French General Confederation of Labor says people are now demanding that Sarkozy step down. Sarkozy has promised his party will pass the reform bill in a Senate vote, which has reportedly been delayed until next week. Our correspondent in Paris, Anastip Roy, updates us on the situation in France.
There are different demonstrations or different blockades, if you want, in different parts of the city. The biggest ones are the students' demonstrations. Then you have the demonstrations or the road blockades being carried out by union workers. And if you want, the unions themselves are very divided. They tend to put up a united face when it comes to taking to the streets and demonstrating. But this time it is just the one that you named, which is called CFDT here in France, which has said, which has called for the resignation of President Sarkozy. The others have not said anything of that sort. And the police had to come in and disperse some of their demonstrators who were blocking the road. But then at the same time, even the unions are now realizing that there is a crucial shortage of petrol in this country. And maybe they may not be able to continue demonstrating for any longer, because in the long run, each person who goes on strike loses one day of salary.
Well, Britain has unveiled deep spending cuts to pay off for the nation's huge budget deficit. The cuts mean slashing benefits and public sector jobs in a five-year austerity plan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is the day when Britain steps back from the brink, when we confront the bills from a decade of debt. It is a hard road, but it leads to a better future.
British Finance Minister George Osborne has announced the details of the UK's biggest spending cut since World War II. The plan will reduce spending across government departments by an average of 19% over 4 years. Public spending will be cut by around $130 billion by 2015. The cuts will be accompanied by tax increases. Up to 500,000 public sector jobs could go as a result of the five-year program. The plan will also slash some 400,000 jobs in the private sector. By 2020, the retirement age will also rise to 66. About 1.2 million families will lose child benefit payments beginning in 2013, and tens of thousands more Britons are likely to see their welfare checks trimmed or scrapped. This comes as part of the government's attempts to tackle the UK's over $240 billion deficit, the largest structural shortfall in Europe. The British government says there is no choice other than cutting the public spending costs to save the country's recession-hit economy.
We are not doing this because we want to. There is no ideological zeal in doing this. We are doing this because we have to.
It blames the Labour Party for putting the economy on the brink of bankruptcy.
The whole point of the government's approach is to take the British economy out of the danger zone, which is where it was left by the last government.
Critics describe the cuts as a gamble that could deteriorate Britain's economic woes.
But I fear what the government is going to do is take an irresponsible gamble with our nation's economy. People will be very fearful about what is being announced today, fearful for their jobs, and fearful for many of the services they rely on up and down the country.
It's very bad news all round. I think it will lead to what's feared, which is a double-dip recession, as happened in Ireland when they made the similar series of cuts.
Economic uncertainty remains high as many fear that the cuts could hinder economic growth. Many believe the austerity plan could seal the fate of both the economy and the coalition government.
U.S. Federal Reserve says consumer spending has remained sluggish and job prospects dim. Consumer spending, which represents about 70% of U.S. economic activity, has essentially been stalled as retailers gear up for the year-end holiday season. Reports from the 12 Federal Reserve districts say retail spending is flat to moderately positive in most districts. The Fed says consumer lending activity is also weak and demand for commercial and industrial loans has remained feeble. This as businesses continue to postpone capital spending plans because of economic and public policy uncertainties. Human Rights Watch is concerned about the political situation in Bahrain ahead of upcoming parliamentary and municipal elections in the Persian Gulf nation. The group has denounced what it calls Bahrain's return to authoritarianism. It says the government has taken over associations and shut down many media outlets to silence the critics and intimidate the rest. The group has also cast doubt on how the elections will meet basic conditions for fairness. Saturday's election will be the first since November of 2006. Manama has arrested hundreds of Shias in recent months and charged more than 20 opposition leaders with plotting to topple the government. It claims those arrested are terrorists, but the detainees say they just want justice and equality. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is on a landmark visit to the holy city of Qom and has met with the relatives of those killed in Iraq's war against Iran. During the meeting, Ayatollah Khamenei said Iranian people will not step back in the face of threats from bullying powers. He said the nation's sense of self-esteem means it will always stand up to the pressures it faces. Later in the day, Ayatollah Khamenei met with senior clerics, including Ayatollah Nasser Makarem Shirazi and Ayatollah Jafar Subhani. The leader arrived in Qom on Tuesday with a huge public turnout there to welcome him. Remaining in Iran, Iran and Venezuela have signed 11 memorandums of understanding in various fields, including in energy and industry sectors. The memorandums were signed in the presence of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and his Venezuelan counterpart Hugo Chavez. Ahmadinejad said the two countries are determined to set up a new world order based on humanity and justice. He also strongly condemned expansion of what he called militarism and interference in Latin American affairs.
The interference of colonizers in Latin America and also in the affairs of Venezuela, we highly condemn that. Expansion of militarism and bullying in the face of revolutionary people and progressive people in Latin America, we condemn that.
President Chavez, for his part, described his visit to Tehran as significant, stressing the depth of brotherly relations between Iran and Venezuela. He said Tehran and Caracas are committed to maintaining their alliance to form a new and multipolar world. Chavez also reiterated his strong support for Iran's independence and condemned threats of military action against Tehran.
We lend full support for Iran and a decisive support for the independence and sovereignty of Iran, also the right of determination of Iranians for themselves and their own country.
Now, Iran's nuclear chief says some 30 kilos of 20% enriched uranium have been produced in the country so far. Ali Akbar Saleh, he told reporters that exploration operations are underway near the southern city of Bandar Abbas to find new sources of uranium. Iran began the 20% enrichment process last February after the collapse of a UN-drafted deal to exchange its low-enriched uranium for nuclear fuel from Russia and France. Iran says it needs the enriched uranium to provide fuel for its Tehran medical reactor. Meanwhile, Iran says the country's gold reserves have hit a record high. Chief of the Central Bank, Mahmoud Bahmani, says Iran's gold reserves have more than doubled this year. He's also said Iran can supply its domestic gold market for the consumption of the next 10 years. Bahmani made the remarks on the occasion of National Exports Day in Tehran.